Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, ladies, welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show? And keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yes, sir! What's good, everybody? You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm at the table with my partners, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, Akil Bayon, and Paul Johnson. The NBA Finals are all the way turned up. And we got ourselves a Game 7, people, so during our Game 7 preview later, we'll also hear from Thunder guard and forward Ronnie Brewer about the NBA Finals, you know, his predictions for Game 7, his basketball camp, and his third annual charity weekend. But right now, make sure you join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to join in the conversation. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. But before we get started, you know we got to promote the team. Make sure you listen to Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out Brandon and Daniel on Sports Trap Radio Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That's also on Blog Talk Radio. But don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can catch the Broad Street Line, Sports Trap Radio, The Season Ticket, Idiot Sports Talk, all our partner shows. You know, you can catch them live. I'm sorry, you can listen to them and watch their videos at warroomsports.blogspot.com. So in addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newvibradio.com. That's 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. But right now, it's enough of me talking. Let's find out what happened this week while y'all were on the grind. What's going on, good brothers?
Man, what's good? How you?
Good, 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 good.
Just happy to do what it is that I do, like I'm doing it for TV.
Man, doing it real loud. Why don't you back up off your mic a little bit?
Yeah, pretty much good, brother. Hey, man, I'm just sitting here looking at all these new twerk videos on Instagram. But other than that, man, I'm ready to talk some sports, good brother.
Vine had a good run. Was it a week?
It's over.
It is over, yeah, like Kenny Smith said in the dunk contest. Over. All right, you guys. While y'all on the grind, as usual, is brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket, then go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on that DirecTV logo, and order yourself a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, and if you're listening to us, I know you do, you got to have DirecTV. Okay, we talked about Chad Johnson last week, you know, getting a 30-day sentence for slapping his lawyer on the behind. He was nominated for our JoJo Award last week. I can't remember who actually won. But Chad did 7 days and was released because he gave Judge Kathleen McHugh, you know, what was supposed to be a heartfelt apology. So I guess
David,
it was just like what we kind of said last week. Didn't really expect him to do the whole 30 days. I think she was just doing it to kind of teach him a lesson, let him know that he's not above the law and there's a time and place for everything. You guys got any thought on Chad's 7-day jail stint and how it might have set him straight?
My only thing is why if, when you have money, like, their sentences get reduced, whether it's Paris Hilton, whether it's Lindsay Lohan. I mean, any other Joe or person would have had to complete the whole 30 days.
Yo, this is a good time for a Nino soundbite. Money talks. Yeah. Bush runs a marathon. So,
I mean, I have a whole show's worth of things I could say about that, because it also has another effect on the opposite side at times, where sometimes people get over-sentenced because they don't want to look like they're being soft on a celebrity or someone with money. So, you know,
right, depends
it works
on the
both
judge.
Ways. But with that being said, though, I just hope that he takes this serious. And the fact that it was reduced, he still may not take it serious. Like, well, even, you know, I even reduced this. So I just hope at the end of the day the brother gets himself together. I don't know if he has any career left in the NFL. He's in a bad situation, but it could be worse. He could be Aaron Hernandez. But, you know, you got to, like, you know, count
his blessings. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
to keep moving forward.
Yeah, he said, you know, everybody deserves a second chance. So, you know, he's still on his quest to get back into the NFL at 35 years old. Not sure if it's going to happen. B. Austin, you got any thoughts?
I really hope that it doesn't change him because I'm thoroughly entertained by his lack of having a filter. So continue being you, Ocho Cinco. Shout out.
You don't care. B. Austin don't care about your future. He just wants you to coon it out for
his
entertainment.
Got nothing to do with the consequences.
Coon it out for his entertainment.
I just want entertained.
Yeah. So are you not entertained? Allen Iverson, back in the news for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
This one, I don't know. We can give our opinions in a minute, but as you guys know, his ex-wife Tawana kind of called the police on him. Actually, filed a little motion in court to say that Allen Iverson abducted their children. He asked if he can have the children for an extended weekend to go on a mini vacation to North Carolina or something like that. She doesn't believe they ever went to North Carolina. They were kind of holed up in an Atlanta hotel, and they were supposed to meet somewhere to exchange the children back, like the children are goods and services. And Allen Iverson never showed up, so her first thought was to go to the courts and try to get the man locked up for, quote-unquote, abducting his children. Of course, he said that wasn't the case. They actually went down to the hotel with a reporter, and his news camera went down to the hotel, saw Allen Iverson getting into his car with the kids and, you know, told him about the situation and asked him the questions. What do you think about this? Is this just, you know, their whole divorce and their relationship deteriorating to the point where
a woman
just being petty, or does she just not trust him anymore?
Let's see if
he
often has the same response when we talking about AI, though. Go ahead, Bill.
I think it's two things at play here. Number one, a woman scorned is not to be trifled with. So she's already upset at the brothers, so he's got a very short fuse, if any at all. Probably no fuse. She just likes the bomb, and it blows up. Secondly, we know that Allen Iverson has been less than responsible at times with his children, allegedly. So, I mean, she has a right to have some level of concern. I don't think that it needed to escalate to this that fast, but I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
That's all
see,
I got.
See how things change? You don't want him to keep acting a fool for your entertainment?
Not with his children. Nah, brother. You may not have no children, but I got them. So when children, it's all, it ain't fun and games when the kids is involved.
Yeah, but Chad out there, headbutting chicks.
It's never fun and games when AI is involved, period, though.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's one of those situations where I kind of look at it. I mean, it may be a situation where, you know, she probably hands the kids over to him reluctantly in the first place. It was already said in all the court documents that he drinks around his children. He's come to hearings for his children reeking of alcohol. So I guess, like, you know, the minute that something doesn't go right during this child exchange, like, can you really blame her for being a little paranoid? Because you never know what may have happened. He could be somewhere drunk driving with the kids in the car or something.
Here's the point, Dev. We talk about how athletes these days sometimes are more worried about their brand than they are their craft. And it's one of those situations where, you know, it's a reason why they're that way. AI has built a brand where he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. And when we hear stories like this, we're not even shocked. You know what I mean? If you take another person, you hear the same kind of story, you may have given them the benefit of the doubt, saying, he didn't do that. But with AI, because, you know, what he's established, it is what it is. We're not even shy. If you know, God forbid this happens, but if you wake up tomorrow morning and they say AI dies in a drunk driving accident, you won't even be shocked about it.
Yeah, you might be upset.
You may be upset. I mean, God forbid that happens to anyone, but I'm just saying that this is what he's given us. So at the end of the day, you know, like Austin likes to say, you know, you reap what you sow. What's your favorite one? You made your bed. All those cliche things. You made your bed.
All of them.
All the cliches. That's what it is.
If you notice, every time we say something about AI now, it's always negative. Either he's broke, or he's destitute, or he's driving the Lamborghini with 2-year-old tags. I mean, it's crazy, man.
I got a Chevy. Like, no, man. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I got a plated. No, man.
Yeah. I just hope some positive Allen Iverson stories come down the pike sometime soon, because this is. It's getting out of hand, AI. And this one, you know, I don't even know if he did anything wrong. So, you know, I'm not condemning him or anything, but it's just what we say, that it's the narrative right now on him. So,
got to change the narrative.
Change that, AI. All right, so this hits kind of close to home, because this is what we do. Did you guys hear about the Atlanta sports radio show hosts who were fired for mocking the former Saints player Steve Gleason, who has ALS? They did a skit on their radio show. It's three guys. They did a skit on the show where one of them supposedly called in and was supposed to be Steve Gleason, but their voice sounded like, you know, another ALS victim, Stephen Hawking. So people, just like they do these days, they took to their Facebook page, they took to social media, and demanded that these guys be fired. They ended up being fired. What do you guys think of that? I mean, we do some things here, you know, that aren't politically correct, but there's a line, I think.
Excuse me.
There's a line, I think, that has to be drawn, you know, especially when, like, illnesses are concerned. And what are your thoughts?
Well,
I let B. Austin go first because he's the habitual line stepper.
He dives over lines. He don't toe the line. He just dives over. See, the only difference is we can't get fired.
I was about to say,
you know,
for those listening,
you guys, I don't think that it's fair that these guys were fired. It's not.
Here he goes.
They have freedom. They have freedom of speech, they're not allowed the freedom of their speech.
Here he go. Listen, man, I can't control that, man.
Like I said, they're not the boss.
B. Austin is the old dirty bastard of War Room Sports, so we call him Big Baby Jesus, and he's out of control. But, I mean, it's one of those things we always talk about, Dev. Like, you know, there is freedom of speech in this country, but you have to be willing to deal with what
but
comes
Jimmy,
with using
Jimmy,
your freedom.
Jimmy, I want you to know that I was not offended.
Especially when you're an employee. That's just bottom line. You're an employee. The people that you work for, it's their company that becomes embroiled in hot water. You know what I'm saying?
You can probably go
somewhere and get another job, but they're going to look negatively upon this radio station.
Let's take it a step further. Even the people that own the company have shareholders to answer to. So everybody has somebody they have to be responsible to, whether that's your sponsor, a shareholder, whatever it may be. You just have to understand what you can and what you cannot do. Maybe they didn't know they were crossing the line by doing this skit. I'm pretty sure if they did this isn't
well,
the first skit that they've done.
Well,
it's the backlash that, you know, caused it.
Yeah, it's always the backlash. Now, here's some more parts to the story, because of the three guys, two of them seem really, really remorseful. They said one of them even sounded as if he was a little uncomfortable during the skit, but he still got fired because he didn't do anything to, you know, make them not do it. So even though he really didn't feel it, he didn't do anything about it. But one guy, his name is Nick Cellini, he doesn't understand why he lost his job. But then he said it was kind of a relief to get fired because this station is a sinking ship anyway. So dude is just
sickle sour grief.
Hey, I think this is it's just bad all the way around. I mean, you guys, you know, obviously see what happens with ALS. Your muscles, like, deteriorate to the point where you have to, like, can only move with, like, maybe your brain in some type of wheelchair that's electric, and you can barely talk. So I just think it was just in bad taste. I don't see how the guy can't see how he was wrong in doing that. And, this is almost worse than – well, it's not worse than – but it's on par with the people that prank called the nurse about Kate Middleton's baby, and then the nurse went and committed suicide. Like, this is kind of, like, on par with that, but luckily nobody died. It's just dude is in a messed up situation.
Yeah.
I agree.
Dr. Bayon brought it down.
I mean, it is what it is, man. You know, you can't mess with no old folks and old babies and no one handicapped.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a situation where I'm sitting here like, dag, man, that was messed up. It's just, I understand, like, you got to know what your situation is. If you, in today's society, especially because people will take to the internet to call for your head, and if your position there is not as stable as you need it to be in situations like that, then maybe you should refrain from doing stuff like that. Like, you know, I understand. I can't relate, but I understand.
It's one of those things where you keep
thinking about. Oh, go ahead, Jimmy.
Now, I was saying it's one of those things where you have to see how far you can go, but, you know, I'm pretty sure, and I don't know these guys' entire history. They've tried things before which have kind of, you know, worked in a gray area, man, but you have to be, like, you have to understand your audience as well, because obviously someone caught a wind of it and was offended by it. You know what I mean? Like, you're vulnerable in today's society regardless, because people can gang up on you at any time with the internet.
At the same time, though, situations like these, the people who are most offended are people who probably don't listen to you every day or every week.
The thing is,
you know what I mean?
The thing is, and we always talk about this in relation to athletes and what we see on social media. People have a hero complex, but always look for heroes, but they also have a complex in wanting to join movements. People look to join any kind of movement and march for any reason. They might
easy
not even
movement.
Agree or be offended. You know
or you
what I'm
can
saying?
Cyber
but
march,
day,
Jimmy.
You can stay cyber march. So at the end of the day, looking to join a movement. They're looking for any
so
reason they can.
So what you just did right now was take the intellectual approach to calling human beings lemmings that like to run and jump off of cliffs.
I mean, you know, it is what it is. This is what they do. I mean, you know, all Miami Heat fans. No, man, go ahead, though.
They're going to really jump off a cliff if they don't win. Lolo Jones, the track, quote-unquote, star. We all know she's thrown her hat into the bobsledding ring recently. So she's been bobsledding for 7 months, and I don't think she understood when she got into bobsledding that you don't really make money doing that. So she made a little video on Vine for the 4 minutes that Vine was popular. Showing how much money she's made in 7 months, which is exactly $741.84 for her training. So, you know, she got a little bit of backlash from other people within the bobsledding community because they were kind of offended.
They have a community,
you know, because it's kind of like
a movement. It's a movement.
We do this for the love, you know what I'm saying? Like, you come over here from your fancy track world with your fancy endorsements. And, of course, she tried to clean it up, saying, no, I only put it out there because I was trying to show, you know, she was trying to show that love, show everybody that the people who do this bobsledding thing are definitely in it for the love because there's not much money to be made for it. You know, she tried to turn it around, but we all know that she was clowning, you know what I mean? Y'all got any thoughts on
that? Yeah.
You know Lolo is making that dollar, win or lose.
Lolo also has a huge ASIC deal. She can pay, you know, as a matter of fact, they run her ads on, like, the NBA Finals. So she has other streams of income. But
Lolo Jones isn't even good at what she does. Like, she's not good as a hurdler. But because of certain gifts that God has endowed her with, we all would rather see her than Dawn Richardson.
No, she's good. She's good as a hurdler. Her brain just messed her up. Like, if she didn't trip over that, hold up. What was it, 08? 08, she tripped. Yeah. Like, she was smoking everybody, but she had a brain malfunction and a neurological disorder that couldn't let her get her toe over the last hurdle, the last couple hurdles.
And are we at the point now where if you don't finish first, you're no good? I mean,
It's relative, and yes, she is good in terms of being on the world stage, but here's my issue, because I have to champion the track and field athletes on this show, because we really don't care about your sport, for real. But there are so many people in that sport that are better, that get way less attention than Lolo Jones.
Even in her own event.
Like, she's not better than Kelly Wells. She's not better than Dawn Richardson. She's not better than the South African girl whose name slips my mind.
Hold on, though.
However, when you hire products, when you hot product.
Exactly. Which world do you live in? It's not about that. It's just, what do you? Come on, man.
I understand.
But Jimmy, I'm not a lemming, so I don't care about that. I'm all for the meritocracy. Like, yo, you win, you should be celebrating.
Yo, that doesn't exist
win,
though.
It exists in my mind.
I mean, it's a thing because a lot of those people you named, a lot of the women that you actually named, you know, they have a problem with her because of that, and that may not actually be her fault. So it is. It's definitely a thing. It's definitely an issue, but it's. You know, in today's society, and we don't even have to say today. I mean, it hasn't
it's
been
society in general, man. In
yeah, it just hasn't
America,
been relevant for
is.
A long time. Like, it's not really the best. Like, an endorser's dream is if the best at something happens to be the best looking. You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
An endorser's dream
right.
Because
flow,
then you got
Joe.
Then
flow,
you can yeah, then you can then they can kind of justify you know what they're doing. And say, well, we're doing it because they're so good. But if the best person in the league looked like Tyrone Hill, and the funny thing about this, we talk about basketball. I've actually seen LeBron James on a ugly list. Shout out to Andy Flint, Sports Kings. It's 20 most ugly NBA players or something like that. Like
he looked like Grunch.
And now you know if he was a different looking dude, then I mean you imagine how grateful. The people who that he hawks products for would be,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a superficial
listen,
world. It's the world we live in.
This is the world. It's the world we live in. There's no change in it. You know, I don't care how mad you get. It is what it is, man.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go in, but Kelly Wells is pretty. I think it got to do with Lolo looking like.
I mean, she can get the man liquid. I'm just saying, like, this is what it is. When you look at the Olympics in general, that's what it is. And going back to the original point. A lot of those Olympic athletes don't make that much money anyway. Maybe not box club money, but, you know, I can only imagine what some of the smaller sports make in terms of revenue.
Curling.
You have guys that make
Olympic
money outside.
Curling.
Yeah.
Yo, you can't support
make, yo?
You can't support a McDonald's habit on bobsled money. But,
yo, that's what
but
I'm
even when you say
about,
something
right?
like Kelly Wells, B. Austin, there's still a societal view of pretty. And beautiful that a lot of these people still don't match. We might think somebody is a dime, but the world of product and endorsement, they might not want
to
hear that. You know, they might not.
Shout
want
out to,
see
to the
that.
BAC, Kelly Wells, can get the man pace.
Real quick, Dev. I just want to tell you another story just came down the pipe that you know, we didn't even talk about. New Jersey just passed a law, right? I want to hear how you guys feel about this. They're banning trash talking in high school sports to be in line with current anti-bullying legislation.
America. I gotta leave the earth. That's a earth leaving offense.
I just saw that pop across in terms of the news, and I had to bring it up right now. So this can't wait till next week. They're banning trash talking in high school sports.
Is it a bill? Or is it a law?
I'm looking at ABC now. Says that's the exact line. I didn't read the whole article yet. New Jersey is banning trash talking in high school sports to be in line with current anti-bullying legislation.
That's
so,
crazy.
You know, that's what it is, man. But I had to tell y'all, gentlemen.
Man, all right. Well,
B. Austin's trying to leave the earth now.
Let us know who's having a birthday real quick while we let that set in. Like, that's crazy. That's weird.
We ain't even got nothing to say about that. Imagine us not having something to say.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing to say.
Man.
Yo, WRS likes to wish people within the sports world a happy birthday on their birthday week. And these birthdays are brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. Treating patients in the D.C., M.D., VA, or the DMV, as we like to say, area, and beyond, visit www.alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. Don't forget to tell them War Room Sports sent you to get the hookup, and everyone likes the hookup, so don't forget. For the birthdays this week.
My birthday, yay!
I'd like to start by wishing a happy birthday to Darko Milicic, Dev's homie, who turns 28.
That's my man.
Darko, happy birthday. Another happy birthday.
Yo, Darko, cut that check, man.
He still got to pay for like 10 years.
Another happy birthday to Darren Lee Sproles.
He's just saving his legs, that's all.
Philip Rivers has been TTJ since Darren Sproles left, so shout to Darren Sproles. And next birthday, LeVar Rashad Arrington turns 34. Happy birthday, LeVar Arrington.
LeVar, pay them folks that money, man. He's gonna close your bar and roll out. Pay them folks.
Get him.
Get him. He seemed way older than that.
Yeah, he definitely does. Anyway. And the last birthday, last but not least, is one Rodney Ray Rogers turns 42. Rodney Rogers.
Yo, he's a paraplegic now, right?
Yeah. He was in that accident.
Don't get it. No comment. Yeah. I'm gonna leave it alone for Austin to start. Anyway, we like to give a nice big war room salute to all these gentlemen on their birthday.
My birthday,
All right, everybody, you can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click on the blog tab to read our latest articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, download our free War Room Sports mobile app, which will be getting an overhaul. We'll let you guys know when you can download the new version of that, and to watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't have one and if you don't want to get one, you can sign in through your Facebook or your Twitter accounts, and while you're at it, click follow to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. So to call in and speak with us directly, because the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline will be open as soon as I finish this sentence, you can call in at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Let's talk about we got some hot topics to talk about, some congrats to give out. So our hot topics are brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. Jimmy, did you finished listening to that Phil Jackson book on Audible?
Yeah, man, Phil Jackson book is that work. Doc Bay, did you get that? Did you get the Phil Jackson book?
No, not yet. It's on my list to listen to.
Oh, okay. What you listening to now, good brother?
The last thing I listened to might have been the Magic Johnson and Larry Bird book. That was the last one I listened to.
That's another good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
There's tons of great sports books on there.
I'm dealing with the ESPN joint right now. Those guys have all the fun.
Yeah, I did that one too. Yeah. But anyway, man, there's tons of great content. And by the way, you might as well go grab one of these books for free. audibletrial.com/warroomsports. You get it for free. And if you want to continue the service, let it go. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. Well, congratulations to Justin Rose. He won the U.S. Open this past weekend. That's his first U.S. Open title. I believe it's his first major. Period. Of course, we don't talk golf without at least bringing up Tiger Woods' name. Tiger is skipping his own event, the AT&T National in the D.C. area, the Congressional, this weekend. He has some elbow problems, so he wants to sit it out and get ready for the British Open next month. I hope this isn't like the start of any more lingering injury problems for Tiger, because he is having a rather brilliant season. Of course, he's judged on majors, not just wins. The Stanley Cup Finals, man. I'm not sure if you gentlemen have been watching, but this series between the Bruins and the Blackhawks is basically putting the NBA Finals to shame. The NBA Finals had a great Game 6 and a pretty good Game 1, but the Stanley Cup Finals have been pretty great, to say the least. up until last night with the 5-4 overtime victory by the Blackhawks to tie the series up at 2. So if you're out there and you're not watching, I suggest you do that because playoff hockey is it's a different kind of atmosphere. Whether you're in the – I can imagine being in the arena, but even on television, it's just a different kind of atmosphere. It's tense. The crowd is crazy. You know, everybody's playing hard. So let's talk about this, fellas. This is this is one of those social issues. Serena Williams, she made some comments to Rolling Stone about remember the whole situation, the rape case of those high school kids up in Steubenville?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find the comments that Rolling Stone actually had her quoted as saying. I had it here. All right, either way, she basically questioned the 16-year-old girl who allegedly got raped. She was saying, you know, how do you put yourself in that situation? How do you drink yourself, you know, to that point? And even if you are drunk at that point, you know, her parents should have taught her not to take drinks from strangers. So Serena got all kinds of backlash from social media, just as we spoke about in the other case before. What do you got, before I even read her apology, because you know there was one, what do you guys think about her comments? I mean, because, you could have taken it one way or another. How'd you take it?
I understand what she was trying to say, but it's the way she said it. It did come off, it's very harsh, but I understand the point that she was trying to make in terms of, you know, the responsibility of the other party to, like, you know, be careful and watch your surroundings. I get what she was trying to say, but you have to find a better way to craft it to say it. And, you know, I laugh a lot of times at how you get on the internet and it's like these anti-bullying things, but people are bullying you into the anti-bully thing. They basically bullied her into apologizing, like they bully everything out of everybody.
Right. Well, here's the real quick. Here's the exact quotes from Rolling Stone. She asked them, first she said that the perpetrators did something stupid. Then she said, do you think it was fair what they got? She said, I'm not blaming the girl, but if you're a 16-year-old and you're drunk like that, your parents should teach you don't take drinks from other people. Then she's quoted as saying she shouldn't have put herself in that position unless they slipped or something, then that's different. I'm like you, Jimmy. I understand what she was trying to say because think if you're the parents of a young lady in this situation. Of course, you're going to be furious. You know what I'm saying? You're going to want justice to prevail and everything. But your first thought, you know, when you hear what happened is, you know, why the hell?
You blame yourself.
Why was she drinking like that? Why was she in a situation where this could even happen? And then you shift your attention over to the, you know, the a-holes who did this, and you just want justice. But I don't know if it was something that everybody should have been up in arms with, but these kind of situations are so sensitive. It's like if you care, you know, about what people think and what people are going to say, then you definitely have to tread lightly and watch what you say, how you say it, you know, and how it may come across.
Man,
because
she
all
should
people
have
are
never
thinking
is
she's blaming the girl. She's blaming the girl. She's not
this
really
is one of those situations where she should have just left the whole topic alone. There's
yeah,
no
a lot of these topics where
looking,
people
you know,
get in trouble, they're kind of like setups. you got.
Yeah, she should have said no comment. She should have just said no comment during the interview because she just. I mean, that was like a leading question.
I guess you go the no comment route. You know, us being who we are and doing what it is that we do, which is certainly we're more astute and more, at least more vocal than most athletes. I don't think she should have backed off. I think she should have just found a way to articulate her feelings a little more. And trust me, believe me, I get it. The media will cut out and edit and give you the most sensational version of whatever anyone says. But I'd like to think that the Rolling Stone is a legitimate and credible publication that wouldn't have edited the words and spun them. I think, I don't know, man. I'm just sick of people not being able to express their intellectual thoughts and opinions.
See, Yeah, I mean, because they're asking her because she is a woman in society. She's, you know, whether, you know, depending on how you look at sports and the importance of sports, she's kind of an important woman in society. Like I said, depending on how you look at it. So these type of things, you know, people are going to ask her opinion on them. And she tried to make it seem like, you know, she was misquoted. Now, that's the only part that I might have a problem with, because if they didn't misquote you, like, that's not what you should be saying right now. You know, you should kind of take accountability for what you said, because there really wasn't that much wrong with it. You just had to, you know, like B. Austin said, instead of backing off, just let people know, well, I'm not trying to blame her. I'm just asking, you know, how do you get yourself in that type of a situation?
It doesn't matter. How. The funny thing is, I think that she did. I understand what she was trying to say. She probably could have. But it doesn't matter how she would have said it. Listen, man, this is the world we live in again. I mean, you can't even talk trash in a high school game in Jersey. I mean, people are ultra sensitive about everything, and they look for reasons to jump on, specifically Serena. And there's a whole other, you know, dynamic to the story that we're not bringing up, but they look to jump on her for any and everything. And at the end of the day, she is very important, like Devin said. She is tennis. Let's face it. She's tennis. I don't care what nobody says. People will get pissed. The name, you know, a bunch of other people don't matter. She is tennis. So,
okay. Well,
you know, her voice matters.
Well, she didn't just back off the comments. You know, she turned it into a charitable thing. She reached out to the girl's family. And this is what she said. She apologized in a statement that was released through her agent. She said, "I'm currently reaching out to the girl's family to let her know that I'm deeply sorry for what was written in the Rolling Stone article." She didn't say what I said. Then she said, "What was written, what I supposedly said, is insensitive and hurtful, and I by no means would say or insinuate that she was at all to blame." So, yeah, she, you know, just throw Rolling Stone under the bus. But it just puzzles me, because I'm on the fence as far as, you know, what certain, you know, media channels do, because I've been, you know, on the side where they kind of splice something up in a way that would misquote you, but at the same time, it's hard to believe that all of these superstar athletes who give interviews to these publications all the time, it's hard to believe that you can sit in front of somebody, do a whole interview where they have everything recorded, and then they go write something that you didn't say. So, you know, I'm on the fence with that. Because it is written publication. It's not like it was a news story and they cut it in a way to make it seem like she was saying one thing. You know, these guys supposedly generally just write what you tell them. So, you know, it kind of seemed like she's kind of backpedaling off of her comments because of the backlash, as usual. But, yeah, anybody else got anything on that before we move on?
No. Serena, maybe we should set up a consulting relationship with professional athletes, including Serena Williams, so we can help them. So as they're asked these questions, they'll know how to answer the question without getting the backlash from the media.
Hey, I can't help them.
They pay for that. They pay people. They pay for that kill. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you pay or what you do. Sometimes they just going to do what they want to do. I mean,
yeah. If those people aren't around
when you're getting,
right. If those people aren't around when you're getting interviewed or when you're tweeting in the privacy of your own home, they can't stop these people from saying what they're going to say. You know, the only thing is, you know, if you're going to say it, you know, stick by it. Now, I can't help them. You know, I guess I couldn't be a part of that consultant wing of the company, because we talked about it a few months ago. I got taking over the Kohl's on Twitter for using the hashtag consumer rape. And I was just talking about how much a hotel was charging me for parking, $75 for one night, and you couldn't go in and out of the joint. So I put the hashtag consumer rape, and people just act like I was making fun of rape victims. So there's a lot of people out there who are very sensitive, you know what I'm saying? They're looking for a cause. They're looking for something to fuss at. So, you know, I didn't apologize. I ain't going to tell them I didn't mean to say this. I said exactly what I meant, and I'm waiting for an opportunity to use it again. Oops. So let's move on. Boxing this weekend, and we're only bringing this. This is not a big fight, Adrian Broner versus Paulie Malignaggi. The only reason we're bringing it up because War Room Sports will be in the building at Barclays Center. So if you're there and you see us, holler at us. I'm not much of an Adrian Broner fan, but, you know, I want to see what he can do. What do you guys think of Adrian Broner outside of his antics on social media?
How are we able to think about him outside of the cooning and the shucking and the jiving and the watermelon seed spitting and the anyway, I mean, he's definitely a talent. You know, he's definitely a talent. He looks up to Pretty Girl Swirl, and so
is he as good as he thinks he is right now?
In that division, you know, it may pain me to say this, but since we're objective, yes. I mean, overall, you're never as good as you really think you are, but he's the real deal. He's the real deal.
All right, Adrian Broner.
Here's the bottom line. He's definitely one of the top boxers in the world. I know Dev hates when we say the world, but, you know, that's just to emphasize things. He's one of the top boxers
America,
in the world.
America's so cocky, man.
But it's funny because when I sit down and, like, you know, think about this, and, you know, it's another one of those things where the narrative has to change because a lot of these guys, I don't even think they act the way they portray themselves. They kind of, it's like boxing or certain sports are becoming WWE in a sense. It's like these guys work just as hard outside of the ring selling, you know, an image in the fight as they do in with their, you know, being pugilists. Because at the end of the day, I don't even think Floyd believes half of the stuff he says or does. And I think this guy is just following the roadmap. You know what I mean? Like, he's trying
he's
to
just doing it earlier so he can get richer quicker.
Yeah, he saw how much money Floyd paid doing what he did. Because Floyd, at this point, is like, you know, one of the wealthiest boxers in the history of the game. And he saw what he did. So now you want to have guys that come after him try to do the same thing. It's kind of becoming – it's becoming wrestling, man. And
but at the same time
– because there are boxers out there who have tremendous skill sets, solid boxers who don't do this. And guess what? We don't care about
them.
Right. That's just what it is. So therefore, it's funny because – go ahead.
No, I was just saying my thought, like, because you said he's kind of aspiring to be like Floyd. I'm like, some people have to watch who they aspire to be, though, because Floyd may look like that on the outside, but there's nobody who's ever been around Floyd Mayweather that's not going to tell you that he's one of the most dedicated people to his craft that they've ever seen. So, you know, you can do everything Floyd do on the outside, but if you don't have that quote-unquote hard work and dedication that man has, then you're just going to embarrass
yourself.
Zab Judah.
But what I'm saying is when you get a boxer or any athlete, me and B. Austin were talking about this yesterday as it relates to battle rap. Now, I'm going to take it a whole other one. Chael Sonnen, who we'll talk about maybe later on, is an MMA fighter. He is a tremendous trash talker, one of the top trash talkers in the world. Because of his ability to talk trash, he gets big fights, and he gets his ass kicked. But he's celebrated because he's able to, like, create – he's created an image. Before he had this image, no one cared who he was.
Yeah. You know what?
Kind of like I blame us as fans as well because, you know, this is what we want. Like B. Austin said, let him get out and act this way to entertain me. And that's exactly
You're right, and to both of your points, I think one of the things that gets lost in the sauce in all of this, Floyd Mayweather, and you're going to hear me say something nice about him, he doesn't drink.
Go get Guinness. Go get Guinness.
He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He does party heavy. But the fact that he doesn't put poison in his body and he works out so religiously, those things aren't talked about outside of boxing circles or outside of the analysts or outside of folks that really care to dig in. The image that's sold is a super talented strip club going, tuition paying fighter. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's sold. A word that we can't use that starts with an N and ends with an ER. Like, that's what's sold in Floyd, and people consume that. And you have to wonder whether an Adrian Broner being young and impressionable feeds into that and adds things to his life that he may think Floyd does, but he really doesn't. You know, when he goes out,
I agree with you.
When he goes out, does he actually end up smoking? and like you say, become a Zab Judah as opposed to truly having that discipline. Just like Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson, he's another one. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't really do a lot of bad things to his body.
But also, here's my point, though, and you're completely correct in that. But my point is, when you Adrian Broner has a tremendous skill set, but what I'm worried about is people who have a tremendous skill set thinking that me training and working hard is not going to be enough. I have to, like, you know, start to craft this bad guy or whatever image just to get to the top of the food chain, because working hard and just being great at what I do is not enough.
Right.
And, you know, you'll start to see that, because you always want to have guys who are bums that talk trash, you know what I mean? But when you see a guy who's – because Adrian Broner's, like I said, one of the top boxers, and I just see this happening in that sport. I see it happening in MMA. It's becoming sort of wrestling. At the end of the day, it is sports, but it's also entertainment. But it's like those two things meet. But it's starting to see entertainment, like, just overlap sports in a way I don't like personally.
But that's my only advice to Bull. Like, if you want to be Floyd, be dedicated like Floyd, because, you know, as much as millions of people out there want to see Floyd get his boot stretched, they probably will never get the satisfaction, because he is dedicated and he is that good. Like, he already is building that contingency of people that want to see him land on his back, and you got a lot of time to be in this game, you know, for that to happen. So don't slip up. Don't let the cooning take over the training, and you go out there and get pummeled, because a lot of people are going to want to see that. So like we said, we will be in the Barclays Center Saturday for the Adrian Broner fight, so we'll see what he does then. We'll report on it when we get back from it, and probably on next week's show. So like I said, if you see us, because we always got something on that's telling you where we're from, holler at us.
Yes, sir.
Bengals. The Bengals, for the second time in 5 years, are back on a Hard Knocks. Are you guys going to watch?
No.
I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say no. I know I'm lying.
I watched
to
the
you.
Dolphins. Why
because
would I not watch?
when it comes to reality TV, the unsung heroes are the editors. They will find a way to make it interesting. They will find a way to make somebody else a star that we may not be watching right now. And, you know, I'm going to end up watching. I'm going to say no right now just because it's the Bengals, but I'm going to watch.
I'm going to say yes because, first of all, the Bengals are poised, you know, if they keep doing what they're doing, to be one of the better, if not the best team in that division. Two, Hard Knock, 24/7, those type of documentary series, it doesn't matter. It could be like take 24/7, for instance. It could be me fighting Jimmy, and they're going to make it interesting enough that you're going to want to watch, and it's going to be so interesting that you're going to take one of our stories and start rooting for us as if you knew us for a long time. So it's like Jimmy said, the editing of these series are so good that they're just going to make it interesting. And three, it's football. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's not a lot of places where you're going to get an inside look at professional football like this. So, yeah, I watch, you know, what did they have, 5 episodes? I'm going to watch. I'm not even going to sit up here and act like I'm not going to watch.
I told you.
You can't always have the exciting story. You can't always have the Jets and people like that. But I do think the Bengals are doing it a second time in 5 years, because I think it's getting harder and harder for HBO to actually find teams who want to subject themselves to that microscope. So that's probably why we have to watch the Bengals again, but I'll be watching. So shout out to them for being desperate. Aaron Hernandez. Oh, man. Aaron Hernandez has been in the news all week. Okay, first there was the word of this homicide investigation because a friend of his, Olin Lloyd, 27-year-old semi-pro football player, his body was found about a mile away from Hernandez's Massachusetts mansion, and you know, he was a friend of his, so he was a part of the investigation. And all we heard earlier in the week was they were searching Hernandez's house and they were searching his rental car, but they kept saying at this point Aaron Hernandez is not a suspect. And then reports came out of a lawsuit from another guy that Hernandez supposedly shot in the face back in February inside of his car, another friend of his. So he's supposed to, you know, they actually lifted the suit, but it was for some paperwork issues. They're going to refile the suit for him shooting this man in the face. Now, the latest that has come up is that Aaron Hernandez has the cops are going to question him again because he allegedly destroyed his home security system, which had surveillance cameras. He destroyed a cell phone. The police had this cell phone, but when it was handed to him in pieces. And he hired a team of house cleaners on Monday to scrub his mansion. So everything is starting to look very fishy for Aaron Hernandez. What do you guys think about this? This looks like one of those stories, again, where you're thinking, oh, this can't happen in sports. But everything is starting to add up to look like Aaron Hernandez may have done something wrong.
Don't all right, wear a wire.
You know,
like
to,
fishy,
you know we
fishy.
Like to speculate. We like to speculate. I think, well, another back part of the story, the gentleman was the boyfriend of Aaron Hernandez's girlfriend. I mean, the boyfriend of Aaron Hernandez's girlfriend's sister. So
yep.
maybe he hit on her, beat her up, and then he said, Aaron Hernandez said, hey, I'll show you. And then maybe it got out of hand and maybe wanted to beat him up. And then maybe he tripped, hit his head. Then he dies. And now, like Jason Williams, you got an accident, death on your hands. So now he's trying to clean everything up. That's what I think went down. Or it was money.
Ray Lewis.
He didn't fall. My bad, Jim. But he didn't fall and hit his head because the dude had a gunshot in the back of his head.
That ain't what happened. He fell on the pillow.
something helped him fall.
That's right. It was execution style. I did read that.
Yeah, that's what and that's exactly the words they're using, execution style. And when you get your house scrubbed and you break your surveillance cameras, yeah, you pretty much shot the dude. Or somebody shot the dude in your house and you're covering for yourself or somebody else.
He made the murder.
He paid that money
to
get that hit done.
Did
and,
you?
You know, I think that they need to let him alone and let Dexter take care of him. But at the end of the day, man,
he is Dexter.
he's out of control. He's out of control. And the funniest thing I've seen, yo, somebody sent me a message on Twitter. It was like, who you think told him to clean up the evidence after a crime? I says, oh, he does play for the Patriots. But anyway, it's a sad case, man. It's like
low blow.
Yeah, low blow. But sports, man, it's crazy how we can't go a week without something just crazy happening. Now, I know there are people just like us, but, yo.
But hold on, Jimmy. That's why we do this. That's why we love it.
I mean, no, of course, we do love it. It's good for us. We definitely love it. We definitely love it. But I'm just saying, man, like, yo. This is not laying the murder game down. You play tight end for the Patriots, B. I think Kiko has something to do with this.
And I don't know why this made me think of this, but, you know, shout out and rest in peace to Gandolfini. When y'all start talking about laying the murder game down in execution style, you know, you just think of mob stuff, think of the Sopranos. So that's a sad happening, even though it has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. We just want to give him a nice rest in peace shout out.
R.I.P.,
man. Yeah, but Aaron Hernandez, I see this getting worse. Speaking from a football standpoint, Tebow better start running routes because, you know, you got Gronk who keeps getting surgeries, and now Aaron Hernandez is about to spend the rest of his life in jail. And I'm speculating, but it just doesn't look good. Like, unless you're covering whether or not he did it, he's covering something because you just don't go destroying cell phones. You just don't go, especially, you know, security systems that you pay a lot of money for because I'm sure
if you're an accessory, you can face similar time as the person that committed the crime. So
time gets even worse when you're covering.
All right, since Kill got a chance to speculate, let me speculate real quick. Because you did mention the connection between his girlfriend and the victim. I'm thinking maybe, you know, the girlfriend's sister, who was the deceased girlfriend, maybe she laid the murder game down and he helped clean it up because his woman talked him into it. Because women will talk men into doing all kinds of craziness And as we've seen last week, man, when it comes to a woman, never mind. But that's what I'm speculating. I can't see him actually. Go ahead.
Or if the dude indeed smacked his girlfriend's sister around, this could have all happened at Aaron Hernandez's home while he wasn't there. His girlfriend might have been protecting her sister and shot the dude in the back of the head. He comes home, it's a dead dude in his house. That's his girl. He loves her to death, so he cleans up the situation and helps her out, and now he's getting questioned by the police. That's my speculation.
Man.
B. Austin, you got one?
Yeah, now, what I think happened is...
this is what we do, y'all. We just make stuff up.
This is what we do. Being as though his last name is Hernandez, I mean, I'm not being stereotypical here, but being as he was getting a little bit of that football money, I think he might have put a little something on the streets on consignment, and his girlfriend's sister's boyfriend was like, yo, let me get that work because I can, you know what I mean? And Aaron, yo, he owed Aaron since Aaron's rookie season. And Aaron been letting it slide. And finally, I'm like, yo, you up to like $479,000. Like, I helped you cop like 30 of them things at like 15 of, you know what I mean? And you ain't paid me my guap back. It got into a respect thing.
Yo, I'm lost in his story right now, man.
Got into a respect thing, and so Aaron had to do what he had to do, and you know what I mean? So now here we are.
I'm just hoping that someone who's been blessed enough to play football for a living has kind of would think twice before pulling the trigger. So I'm thinking maybe he was just helping clean it up, you know, because a woman talked him into it. Because, again, you know, a woman could talk a man into doing some crazy stuff, but... You know,
man, Aaron put some of them things on the street. He was getting money.
Or Aaron better make a phone call to Ray now that Ray is gone and say, yo, how I get out of this?
Yo, y'all dudes are way out of control. You know, B. Austin just made a whole drug cartel. And when you started talking about stereotyping, I thought you were going to go in a whole different direction. I thought you were going to say, like, he gave dude the money to start, like, a cleaning business or something, and, you know, stuff just didn't go right. All right, but look, that's an unfortunate situation, especially for an organization like the New England Patriots who, you know, they kind of run around like they don't do anything wrong and this stuff don't stink. Like, you don't want to see this happen to anybody. But it's kind of crazy because you want to see, you know, as it plays out, how the organization is going to handle you know, their ties with Aaron Hernandez. Are they going to stick it out with him? Are they going to let him go and sever ties and kind of distance themselves from him while this stuff is going on? We shall see. We shall see as it plays out. But, look, you guys know the deal. You know it. We tell you all the time. You can definitely check out our website at worldroomsports.com. If you want to call in and speak with us about any of today's topics, dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Jimmy's going to talk a little bit. Well, Jimmy, get us into that whole Clipper Celtics thing, and then, you know, before we start the NBA Finals talk, let's see what the deal is on that whole thing, because it's a weird situation to me.
Let's just talk basketball in general. Let's start off with that. Our basketball talk, by the way, is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. And you know guys about Stitcher Smart Radio, right? Well, if you don't, Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, and if
our
you
show.
Happen to have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, guess what? You can listen from there as well. I know you probably didn't believe it. If you still have a Palm phone, like, you probably said, I can't listen nothing from there. Then we can listen to the world. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Go to Stitcher.com/The War Room. That's one word, T-H-E-W-A-R-R-O-O-M. And when asked for a coupon code, use The War Room. It will enter you into a contest to win money. And once you have your account set up, you can listen to our podcast anywhere. Now, before we get into the finals, there was some talk going around this past week about the L.A. Clippers. Yeah, we got to prepare to go on a little bit, right? The L.A. Clippers and the Boston Celtics engaging in a trade, which would have not only sent Kevin Garnett to the Clippers, but would have also sent Doc Rivers. That's right. They traded Kobe. You know what I'm saying? They all assets. They all just numbers on a piece of paper. So they're trading Doc Rivers and KG. DeAndre Jordan, some picks will come back. The Celtics wanted Bledsoe was part of the deal. I like when trades like this happen and teams get stuck over a player that years from now no one will care about. Not saying that Bledsoe is not an excellent player, but this reminds me of when LeBron was in Cleveland and they had an opportunity to make a move to get Amari there, and they didn't want to part with J.J. Hickson. They said J.J. Hickson is too he's too important to the future of our team. So, I mean, and in retrospect, looking at that, they probably could have kept LeBron and had Amari as well. But, you know, at the time, J.J. Hickson was too important to their team. So teams get in these trade talks and they get caught up on these crazy players.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's what this reminds me of. We're not going to – because in my personal opinion, before I let you gentlemen rock on this, I think that this deal, the way I read it, would have actually helped both teams. The Clippers are poised to be a contender right now. The Celtics need to get past this old regime and move forward, so it would help them get younger and get some good quality players and some picks and help them move past the big three. But it would also give the Clippers an opportunity to compete right now and probably sign Chris Paul. But last I heard, they're stalling on a deal, so, you know, we'll see what happens.
See, now that what you just said is that's the most important factor in this, because, you know, once you hear these type of rumors, these type of reports from sources close to people, you know, that's what the fans and the rest of the media, that's what they just draw on. So everybody's saying how important it is for the Clippers to get this done, because Chris Paul will only stay if he was playing for Doc Rivers. You know, even if Chris Paul, you know, verbally said, you know, I'm a big fan of Doc Rivers and I would love to play for him, I still can't believe in my heart that his whole decision of where he's going to spend the next 5 to 6 years of his life is only, you know, contingent upon whether or not they get Doc Rivers. I just can't see his decision being, you know, solely based on that. Now, the latest that we've heard in the trade, because, Jimmy, like you said, they've been to the table about 3 different times with this. And the first time, you know, Bledsoe's name was in it. Clippers put the kibosh on that. Then, you know, they went to the table with DeAndre Jordan and 2 first-round picks. Now, that's the deal that's still there. And by all accounts, they basically have a deal in principle. But now the NBA has stepped in because they're raising some concerns about the trade. It's not really common practice to trade coaches. And even though that's how everybody understands this, Doc Rivers isn't really being traded. The thing is, Danny Ainge doesn't have to let him out of his contract, but in order for him to allow Doc Rivers to even breach the contract and go to the Clippers, he wanted the Clippers to give them some compensation. So it's like, okay, we'll let Doc go, not necessarily in this trade, but we'll let Doc go if you guys make a trade with us on some players. So that's the real deal. Like, Doc Rivers isn't really getting traded, but the league is raising some eyebrows to it because they're saying, well, this, you are indeed putting value on Doc Rivers as if he's a piece in this trade, because the trade wouldn't go down if Doc Rivers didn't move to another team. So, and that's not a part of the collective bargaining agreement. So the league is looking into it right now, and this might not get approved. So I know that was a mouthful. I know y'all understand
you.
But it's, you know, I'm trying to explain that to the listeners out there, because everybody's out there talking about how Doc's getting traded and this and that. But really, Doc is just there. The trade is to give Doc permission to leave his contract. Like, well, you know, Doc can leave and do what he wants, but we're not just going to sit back and let y'all, you know, destroy our team like that. Y'all going to have to make a
player
trade with us
or
something like that.
And I totally get the whole concept of it not being trading the coach, but at the end of the day, that's what it becomes. I just don't know what kind of precedent this sets. I think that's what the NBA may be worried about.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, we're going to give you a, you know, Van Gundy and such a, like, yo, they're going to start trading GMs. You know what I mean?
You're right, Jeff, because why they keep saying we're not literally trading a coach, figuratively you are, because if he isn't a part, you know, if he doesn't want to leave and the Clippers don't want him, the Clippers and Celtics aren't even dealing right now on any players. You know what I'm saying? Their trade partners could be somebody else. So, in essence, he is getting traded. You know what I'm saying? But they're trying to say that it's not the case because they know that it's not a part of the collective bargaining agreement, and that's what the league is looking into right now.
Now, the main reason why they want to trade him is because I think Danny Ainge, Doc Rivers, the Celtics organization, they all know that at best the Celtics may be a seventh seed next year, so they probably need to rebuild. They don't want to pay Doc Rivers $7 million a year just to rebuild when they can bring in some random coach for like $2 million a year and save that $5 million.
All right. Well, let me say something that is not going to be like.
The funny thing is who random coaches really are when they don't have talent on their team. Go ahead.
Yo, and this is what I'm going to get to, man. And I know a lot of people will hate me, people listening live and those that listen on the podcast. But yo, y'all overrate Doc Rivers anyway, man. Let's keep it funky. What did he do in Orlando? What did he do in Boston before the Big Three got there? He won like 27 games. He was on his way out the league.
Jim, in 2006-2007, the year before they made the trade and won the NBA championship, remember, there were rumors that he was about to get fired, and they gave him one more chance because of the talent they brought in. You gave him three games. He was 24-58 with the Celtics.
I'm sorry.
The year before that, he was 33-49. And the year before that, his first year in Boston, he did have he was over 500 at 45-37.
He's a great play designer.
His out-of-bounds plays, he has the best out-of-bounds plays in the league.
Him and Doug Collins have great out-of-bounds plays. I don't think that he's a bad coach, but let's not get it twisted. The thing is, you give me all the greatest coaches in the world, and they've had talent. It takes both. It takes talent as well as coaching to succeed. But these guys act like Dr. Rich can walk into any situation and make them a winner when it's not true. But
he's not Larry Brown.
The Clippers have talent. You know what I'm saying? Larry Brown is also overrated, too. He kills organizations.
Oh, Jimmy, I got something. Jimmy, I got something for your argument. Some people say that Tom Thibodeau was the reason why Boston Celtics had their success.
I've heard that as well. He was one of the head assistants on the Celtics team that won the championship. And
he ran their defense.
He
was the defensive coordinator
when he went there. And I've heard that as well. But I'm just saying, in general, it takes talent. People like to criticize and kill Phil Jackson for having talent. But guess what? Popovich has talent. Red Auerbach had talent. Pat Riley always has talent. It takes talent for any of these guys to succeed in the NBA. Let's not get it twisted.
Yeah, Doc was a 500 coach in Orlando. There's always going to be excuses around Doc Rivers because in Orlando, everybody's going to say how, you know, they thought they were going to have McGrady and Grant Hill. Grant Hill got hurt. Bottom line, he still had a superstar. On both teams he coached before they got really good, he still had a superstar that was surrounded by, you know, enough players for this team to be a playoff team. So, you know, they were a 500 team, and they made the playoffs pretty much every year in Orlando.
Screening!
But once he got the ball, because in Orlando he actually got fired because they started the season 1-10 in 2003-2004. But in Boston, you know, the teams weren't great, but you still had Paul Pierce. So it's not like he had nothing to work with. But after they made that trade, you know, it was on. I'm not saying that anybody could have just taken that team and won an NBA championship, but there's something to be said when you go from 24-58 to 66-16, and it's not because a coaching genius light just went off in your head and you just became Phil Jackson overnight. So, you know, props to Doc because, like you said, he is a good coach. He may be a very good coach, and he's a great play designer. You know what I'm saying? He's always going to kill you after a timeout. But I think all of the fuss that's been made around him this week, you know, with this whole Clippers trading with the Celtics thing, I think they're just doing too much. And I don't even know if they believe that he's as great as the fuss is making him out to be. It might just all be in the fact that somebody told somebody that Chris Paul might stay if you get Doc Rivers. And I think that's really the main thing
that they're looking at right now. It's definitely player motivated. It's definitely about, because we all know that. I mean, it's a player driven league. So if there's any inkling that player sentiment is leaning towards one particular coach, then they're going to do what they can to keep that star power. And so it's all about appeasing, I guess, Chris Paul at this point. Or I heard DeAndre Jordan and even Blake, young Bam Bam, were on the block. So it's about trying to keep Chris Paul. That's what it all boils down to.
And I think, like I said earlier, I just think it's real naive of people to believe that Chris Paul is going to make his decision solely on that. If he was thinking about staying with the Clippers, like, that's in his mind, regardless of which coach they end up getting, even if it's somebody out there that he would really like to play for. Because if he leaves and goes somewhere else, if he goes to Atlanta with those rumors of him and Dwight teaming up, like, Doc Rivers is not going to be there. So this is just a bargaining chip for him. Even if he did demand Doc Rivers, it doesn't necessarily mean that he wouldn't stay if they don't get him. But the Clippers are not willing to call his bluff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't think somebody's going to plan that many years of their life over somebody that they've never even played for before. You might go to the first practice and think Doc is a jackass and not want to play for him no more. So you want to go to the digital gym? Who you got on the digital?
Yes, yes, yes. We definitely have someone on the Digital Extreme Hotline calling from New Jersey. We have Frank on the line with us. Frank, how are you?
Yo, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. How about you?
What's up,
man,
Frank?
We're doing great. What's going on? What is it you want to talk about, Frank?
Yeah, Game 6. Let's talk about Game 6. Well, the Spurs were doing really, really good all throughout the game, and I thought it was pretty interesting how the Heat came back, got that three-pointer, went to overtime, and the Heat just won it. And I thought that was pretty great. But do you think the Spurs will have that momentum and that charisma to come back and win another game? Because, you know, they were talking about how the Heat, it's really hard to win two games in a row. And I was wondering if you think that it's able to do that, they're able to do that.
No.
Frank, this is Devin. Oh, go ahead. You want to answer him, B.O.?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that the Spurs have given everything they had in trying to win that game. And the key cogs, not you know, youth is and age is an overrated thing, but in this case, because Tim Duncan, you know, is 37, because Manu is 35, not that he matters at this point, but the age and the amount of physical exertion have kind of put them in a position where I think they shot their gun. And now Miami has that confidence. They've taken the best punch and withstood it. So I think you're going to see Miami come out and pound them into the ground.
Another thing was Magic Johnson said, I was listening to his on TV, and he said that it's more frustrating to lose a game really, really close because you put all your effort into it, except being blown out.
Exactly, and I agree with that. Because in a blowout, you know, midway through the fourth quarter, you kind of know your fate of this game. You can, you know, start resting up and everything. But it's like B. Austin just said, the physical exertion to go that deep into the game and then to go into overtime, and that's not even the most important thing. It's like the mental exertion of we thought we had this. Like, we were 30 seconds away from an NBA title. You know, we were two free throws away from an NBA title. Everything they're going to say that, you know, we could have walked off of that court with the trophy the other night, it's going to be in their heads. Now, the Spurs are, you know, a veteran bunch. And if anybody can, like one of my partners said on a video we did the other day, if any team can, you know, weather that storm and come back and make it another good game like Game 6, it would probably be the San Antonio Spurs. But I think a lot of us here are in agreement that they tried so hard and they gave Miami so many knockout blows in that game only to see themselves come up short. I think it's going to be a tall task for them to try to come out and win that game tonight. But we'll be watching. We'll see what they do. And Frank, thanks for your call, man. We really appreciate it. All right, man. Thanks for your call.
Frank,
thank you.
Yeah, well, that's what we, after the doc, we were talking about Game 6 anyway, so we might as well get these callers in, because, Game 6, man, Kill, because you weren't able to do the Inside the War Room with us, so what were your thoughts before we go to this next caller? Like, what were your thoughts on Game 6 and how it played out.
Man, there was so many storylines. I mean, as I'm watching, I'm like, man, if the Miami Heat lose, LeBron is going to get killed in the media and everything. What is he throwing up? Look, he's shrinking in the clutch again to, wow, LeBron just proved everybody wrong by stepping up in the fourth quarter to, man, how did Tony Parker hit that shot? He's not even a good three-point shooter, but he hit it when it counted. But each time Manu went to the line and Kawhi Leonard went to the line, I was sitting with my wife, and I said, he's going to miss one for two, and they missed. And then she said, but, you know, they're up five. I said, yeah, but that would have put them up six. So once Ray Allen hit that three-pointer in the corner, I was like, see, now we're going to overtime. So it was just crazy. I mean, credit to the Heat for coming back when everybody counted them out. Manu Ginobili played like trash, 8 turnovers. Tony Parker, 6-for-23. Manu and Boris Diaw kept making crazy soft pass after crazy soft pass, trying to be fancy. So, I mean, if you take those turnovers away, I mean, the Spurs easily win that game. And Tim Duncan is killing them.
Yeah, and that's another thing that we had reservations about. Like, not that Tim Duncan isn't a superstar, but Tim Duncan hasn't performed like he did in Game 6 in years, at least consistently. So it's hard to kind of expect him to come back in Game 7 and have that same kind of performance. But when you think about it, it is just one game. So if you wanted to dig deep into the archives and go back into the time machine, this is the time where Tim Duncan, you know, has to go ahead and do that. But it's difficult to believe that he can do that. And while we're talking about that, B. Austin, remember we brought up the other day, he may get a pass because of how great he is, but Popovich did some questionable things in that game.
Popovich,
for one, like he's taking his best players out of the games in certain situations where you're questioning. Like, it wasn't, you know, hindsight for me to wonder why Tim Duncan wasn't in on that play where Bosch got the rebound and kicked it out to Ray Allen for the three-pointer that I keep saying, the three-pointer that won the NBA Finals, because I don't think the Spurs, you know, can come back from this. But then there was the last play of the game where they put Tiago Splitter in and left Tony Parker on the bench. Now, in hindsight, I can see exactly why Tiago was in the game, but I will never understand why Tony Parker was the person who was on the bench. The play was designed from start to finish to go to Danny Green. Tiago Splitter must have a reputation as a great screener because he set the screen at the top of the key, which probably why he was the sole reason he was in the game, and Danny Green was wide open on that three-point attempt. But if everything breaks down and you can't get it to Danny Green and the seconds are running out, you need Tony Parker on the court to be a plan B, to be a backup, to make something happen when there's nothing happening. And like Skyview Kevin said in our chat room, Chris Bosh definitely mugged Danny Green on that last play, but it's one of those things where you can't really blame the ref for not calling the foul on Manu after he took 6 steps and not calling that foul on Danny Green. Like, I wasn't up in arms as a neutral fan because it should have never gotten to that point in the first place. And the Spurs are the type of veteran team where you can't really give them excuses like that towards the end of a game.
Man, I that could have been the Sixers out there, and we, you know, we're Sixers fans. I wouldn't have been mad at the ref not making that particular call.
I can't agree with that.
We got a couple calls in the line, man. We got to get some calls real quick.
Okay, I can't agree with that, though, B.L. You know, once you put your fan goggles on, stuff changed. Like, I would have been bitching about every 9 calls if it was the Sixers, but watching with no horse in the race is you know, you
it
can
changes
change
things. It definitely does.
Go ahead,
Jim, go to the digital.
Yeah, our phone lines
are
blowing.
Hold that thought,
and
we go right back to you.
Hold on, B.L. We got Jake calling all the way from California to talk to us. Jake, what's going on?
Nothing much, guys. You know, I just wanted to hit up a little bit about what I think is going to happen in Game 7. And I
got
to tell
you. What you got? What's your opinion?
You know, Miami has not been able to win 2 straight games in the last 2 series they've played. And I don't think they can do it tonight. The fact is, they don't carry momentum. I don't know why. They're not a team that carries momentum. They don't feel the momentum. Pop, you know, and the Spurs, much more. It's a much more disciplined team. And in basketball, the NBA is a league where discipline is not stressed much. People don't really care about discipline. I think that's what's going to win this game tonight, guys. You know, they're a boring team. They're not a flashy team, but I think they will win tonight. And you know, it's just because they gave that game away to the Spurs.
Yeah. See, but Jake, that's a part of the reason why I think the Spurs are going to have trouble. Because I would be inclined to agree with you, but looking at those statistics, you know, about Miami not being able to win two back-to-back games in the last two series, that's kind of why I think they're due. And for the Spurs to have, you know, had that game under wraps, I just don't think you give a team with that much talent, you know, another chance, a game seven with their backs against the wall in their own house. Because I agree with everything you said. The Spurs are a more disciplined team. You know, they definitely have a chance to go out there and win the game tonight. But, you know, just the talent of Miami, it's always a thing. If you can get all of those guys going at the same time, then there's, you know, any one game, you know, they have a great opportunity to win.
Yeah.
Now,
and Jay,
I'm not even
going
to hold you. I would rather see the Spurs win. So I hope that doesn't happen, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. Now, Jake, just to piggyback off what Dev is saying, I think that all of us would like to see the Spurs win. I mean, who doesn't root for Tim Duncan? But with that being said, not only from a mental standpoint, but from a physical standpoint, I don't know how you rebound from a heartbreaking loss like that. They pretty much had the NBA championship wrapped up. And what happened was the camera panned over to T-Mac, and the basketball guys came down and said, "This is not happening. We are not allowing T-Mac to win a championship." And everything just went haywire. I mean, they took Tim Duncan out of the game sort of like a, you know, as a last hurrah. Like he was getting his high fives as if the game was over. The Miami Arena started putting the little yellow thing around. They brought the trophy downstairs. I mean, fans left the arena. And to get that close to winning the championship and then to have it snatched away from you, from a mental standpoint, I don't know how you rebound. If anybody can, it would be the Spurs because they're a mentally tough team. But it's going to be an uphill battle. Let's put it that way. And then from a physical standpoint, if you watch the overtime game, those guys were just completely out of gas. They were completely tired and completely out of gas. They had one day off, so that'll help. But I just don't know whether they will be able to, you know, rebound. And I mean, I'm hoping for a great game because when at the end of game six, I said, man, Heat may blow them out in the game seven. I hope that doesn't happen. I'm looking for a very competitive game, but it's hard for me to pick against the Heat. They played all season to get home court, and this is what it comes down to, one game. And if it's one game for everything, I have to go with the team that has the best player, which is LeBron. I'm not a LeBron James fan. But if I'm thinking about this with my head, I would have to pick the Heat in this game based upon those things because they came so close to this being over. I think they blew their chance.
Definitely. I wonder if LeBron's going to go no headband tonight.
that's interesting because he might just do that. He played really good without it, so,
we'll see. Yeah.
But the thing is, when you – thanks for your call, Jake, man. We appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for the call. We got a bunch of people online, but thanks for the call, Jake. We appreciate it. Call back anytime.
All right, you got it. Thank you for putting me on, guys.
Take it easy.
No problem. Yo, and
thanks, Jake. Snake.
Looking at Jimmy brought up the fact that the fans left. Like, they don't, like, Miami as a sports town don't deserve this team. They don't deserve to win an NBA Finals, let alone having their opportunity tonight to win their third one. Like,
neither
even
do the
if
Hammer
you're,
Eaters.
Yeah, even if you're, you know, convinced that the game was over, even if that game was really over, how many fans are that spoiled to leave in that situation? Usually fans stick around, especially if you have a team that gives you great basketball night after night. You know, you stick around, you give your team a standing ovation and stuff like that. You don't leave when this could be the last seconds that they play in a season. Like, that's some spoiled
Miami
stuff
is
right
a fraud,
there. They
a fraud
don't deserve
town. They
yes,
don't deserve
they
that team. And I know for a fact that our next caller has something to say about that because our phone lines are just blowing up. But Miami
I know
is
they're
a
blowing
fraud
up.
Town.
Keep in mind, y'all, we're supposed to have OKC Thunder guard forward Ronnie Brewer in the war room in about 5 minutes. So stay tuned for that.
Let's keep going to the line.
These calls.
All right, no doubt. Let's get you the homie. Naeem, you know what I mean? Be more by way of Philadelphia. Naeem, what's good?
Oh, man. I'm depressed today. I really am. where can I start at?
You might think that he's going to LeBron James.
LeBron,
Naeem,
I don't know.
Naeem,
what's up,
D? I'm with you.
Dude is garbage. Dude is garbage. I'm sorry. He's garbage. He's all office. So he's garbage. You're 6'8". You have
garbage.
No pivot game. LeBron, I'm on my sports show talking. He's garbage. He has no pivot game, no jab step, no low post. If he's not cutting to the lane, that's all he can do. It's fast break. Now, his defense, I give him his respect. He did a great block shot on Duncan down the stretch. And two of them. And the Spurs, only one came to play that night was Tim Duncan. That's why I asked that question. To me, I think Duncan is the best power forward and lead to play the game, but he came to win. You know, but I just want to say this kid has not earned his nickname. They gave him the nickname the King. He didn't go to Rucker Park and play. Kobe went to Rucker, got his black mama name. Paul Pierce, Iverson. LeBron is garbage. I'm convinced now.
He's garbage.
He didn't start playing tough until Ginobili elbowed him in the chin.
Right? I want you to answer this 100% honestly, right? All right, so let's just say they lose the series tonight, right? And then you wake up the next day and find out the Lakers have traded Meta World Peace for LeBron James. Is he still
garbage? I'm a Laker fan. He's still garbage. Dwight Howard is garbage. I want him off the Laker uniform. I mean, come on, I'm still a Laker fan.
I respect that. I was just wondering.
I mean, for him to be that size 6'8", you have no low post game?
Listen, I think that it's kind of like he's maybe underachieving, but then again, I can't even say that because the kind of pressure that was on him coming in. Now, granted, the pressure was put on by himself and the marketing team behind him.
Look at the pressure Kobe had. He didn't
have the same pressure as LeBron. LeBron was called the chosen one before he came in the league. Look, Kobe wasn't even a starter the first year. LeBron was thrown in the mix and supposed to be the face of the league right away. So LeBron, in essence, has grown up. I mean, his high school games were on ESPN as a freshman. That's unheard of. So he's part of like this generation that, you know, everything is sensationalized. He was called the chosen one, the king. And a lot of it, you know, so we can't put the blame just on the media and people because he accepted it. For Christ's sake, his Twitter name is King James. So he goes with this whole concept. So with
Thank
that
you.
Being said, when they
That's
win,
why he's receiving.
He
get,
when
he
they win,
no
he gets the credit. But when you lose, you also have to get the criticism as well. But
I'm criticizing him now.
I just think that at times, like, he's judged on a different scale than anybody else. Now, it's
no,
his
I'm not judging him on a different scale. I'm
no,
just
no, no,
saying,
what I'm saying about that is
down?
I've never seen a player, and I read a good piece about this the other day. I forgot who wrote it, but I've never seen a player whose entire legacy is defined game by game. I watch regular season games, and they say if he doesn't make this shot, his entire legacy is tarnished. I'm like, damn! It's like game three of the season. They're talking about his legacy already. I've never seen a player
I'm just saying, with you being 6'8", okay,
mm-hmm.
you should be able to go down that block and pull somebody up. He can't do that, and he needs to work on that.
And this is true. I mean B. Austin talks about it all the time, how if he got a post game,
I know, and B. Austin, he don't have no jabs that if that jumper is off and he's not slashing to the rim,
yeah.
And
I mean,
San Antonio messed up,
they closed that middle down,
clamped that defense on him. He couldn't do nothing until he got that elbow by Ginobili in the chin.
As some people say, he's underachieving. I mean, the same could be said for Shaq. As great as Shaq was and as much as he won, Shaq should have won more. So I understand where you're coming from.
Oh, yeah, he should have won more. Him and Kobe should have stayed together.
I just don't know about the whole bum thing. I wouldn't go that far.
I'm calling him a bum because I don't care for him. I don't like him. You know, hate is a strong word. I just don't like him. You know, when people compare his name with Magic, Bird, Kobe, for the essence, he's not a great player to me. He's not a great, great player because great players down the stretch you can count on. He's laying on the floor while the team is running up the court scoring bad. He's looking at the ref. Where's the foul? Could you see Michael doing that or Magic doing that or Bird doing that? They are getting up off the court, running, chasing down, you know, trying. He's laying on the floor looking at the ref. Where's the foul? I almost choked on my food looking at that. I mean, people ain't looking at stuff like that. Then when he got elbowed by Ginobili, that's when he's like, oh, this thing is real. He took the headband off then. He's like, oh. He started playing a little bit serious. It's a championship. These guys ain't playing. This will make him a great player if he plays the game he should, but he's not.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Heat fans. He's just, I don't think he can step to the table. I think he doesn't handle pressure too well. So
I'm laughing because in the chat room somebody just said, for Christ's sake, even Mike Dunleavy played at the Rucker.
Exactly.
I guess they kinda agreeing with you, man.
Iverson, answer. Where did he get his name from?
I mean, I give you that. Like a lot of stuff that you hear about LeBron, a lot of things have been given to him, but at the same time, it's crazy the kind of pressure he came in under. And, you know, as a player, he may be living up to it, but, you know, the mental part of it, when it gets into certain situations, you know, that's where, you know, he may not be living up to this post-Jordan era expectation of what a superstar should be.
I'm not putting him up to the expectation. I'm just saying, if you want to be a great player like he wants to be, this is your moment. This is your stage. You got to perform.
See, and people are always going to rebut that with, well, look at his averages in elimination games and this and that. But what they're not understanding is, you know, every game, you know, I don't think there's going to be a game, like a bad game for LeBron could be a triple-double. You know, that's how good he is physically. But people don't realize that there are moments within games where, you know, if you're going to take the lead and you're going to be that superstar, you're going to be that guy, you can't shy away from certain points.
Thank
you. Like, I'm not saying you got to go, you ain't got to go rogue and just gun crazy shots all down the stretch. But there are a lot of times when he's putting the onus on someone else to make a play when, you know, you get paid the most money, you get the most attention, you get the most love, you get the most hate. But, you know, that's supposed to be what you do. But we've talked about it plenty of times in here. LeBron is a pleaser. He doesn't want to let people down. You know, he doesn't want to be hated and stuff like that. So, you know, he'd rather
you can't mention his name with Kobe. Don't mention his name.
Well, yeah, if you bring up Kobe, Kobe definitely doesn't care because you'll tell Kobe
he's gonna take
the jackbox, and then he'll take more shots because you called him a jackbox.
Exactly.
So, dude really doesn't care. So,
no,
yeah,
he's gonna take the win or the loss, and he's gonna keep on playing. So that's what great players do. But y'all go ahead and go when I'm gonna listen to the rest of the show to hear Mr. Brewer. About us having a cold call on this one. I don't know how I'm gonna watch this game tonight. Have a good one.
True. All
right.
Scream.
He said he's a bum.
Yo, he straight called him a bum, yo. Like, yo, and that's the thing, like, you know, people are passionate about LeBron. But what I was saying, man, is accurate. I've never seen a player judge this way before. I just haven't seen it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, it's like play by play, they're talking about this man's legacy. Like, seriously?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But again, you know, all the cliches that B. Austin likes to say, heavy is the head that wears the crown, you know, and all the other cliches, this, you know, it's true when it comes to LeBron. I mean, he's the chosen one. I blame Nike, but, you know, I blame Nike for a lot of things, so I'll chill with that. But anyway, man, outside of LeBron, man, B. Austin.
Yes, sir.
I was thinking about you watching the game, no Bosh, but one of your favorite players, right? And I know this to be one of your favorite players because we talk hoops all the time. Manu Five Steps Ginobili, Manu Drew Hill Ginobili, as I like to call him, Manu Drew Hill Ginobili. When he was playing, I couldn't do nothing but laugh because I said, B. Austin's probably in the crib pissed because this is one of his guys.
Yo, Manu played like he does not belong in the NBA any longer.
I knew you were pissed.
And it wasn't any one particular play. It was the entire game Well, if I'm not mistaken, he had more turnovers than shot attempts.
At one point in the game, yes, he did.
Yo, he was out of sync. He was thinking.
Listen,
he was overthinking. He was.
I just wanted to bring that up. I wanted to bring that up. We can get right back to that because I know, like, for those who don't know, Manu was one of B. Austin's guys. There's, like, certain people who are B. Austin guys, like Sam Cassell, B. Austin guys.
Oh,
Austin
I Bill, love Manu. Manu is not on that list. Huh?
Manu is on that list.
He's letting you down.
Yeah, when he played that way watching the game, I was in tears laughing. I said, listen, Manu, Drew Hill, Ginobili is pissing B. Austin off right now. We're getting ready to get to our guests, but for those who want to know why we call him Drew Hill, because every time he takes the ball, he takes about five steps.
On that foul at the end of the game that the refs didn't call, I wasn't even mad. Nobody had the why are you doing face.
Yo, somebody told me it looked like he was returning a punt on that play.
Yo,
but anyway,
he took seven steps before he got fouled.
Five steps. Anyway, let's get to our guest, man. The guest of the hour is a guard for the OKC Thunder. Also is a very charitable gentleman who likes to give back to the community. We want to talk to him about, the NBA Finals and also what he's doing out there, you know, to help strengthen the community. Back again, you know, video game aficionado, we got Ronnie Brewer in the war room.
Ronnie.
What's up, Ronnie?
How much are y'all guys doing?
Yo,
what's up,
man? Next season, when you see Manu, tell him B. Austin from the War Room says, stop traveling, man.
Oh, man.
Hey, Ronnie, man, where you watching Game 7 at?
I'm going to watch it at my house.
I'm going to have
some people come over and watch it at the house.
Okay.
What's your take on Game 7? Like, you know, you know that, you know, you guys aren't there, so you're kind of upset about that. But this is for all the marbles, one game. So what's your opinion of this game?
I think LeBron is going to have a huge game. I think, Dwayne Wade is going to play better and Chris Bosh is going to play better. But, you know, the Spurs are in Game 6, and Ginobili and Danny Green really didn't have a good game. So
right.
I feel like if they come out and play well and, you know, Tony Parker and Tim Duncan play like they've been playing the whole entire series, it's going to be tough to, you know, beat them even on the road, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, you know, they're a tough team. So I just hope we get a good game, you know what I'm saying? I don't want any of those games like, you know, game 4 or 5 with the blowouts. I want a good game.
Yeah.
All right, well, Ronnie, this is Devin. We don't have to stay on this for too long. But the last time we had you in the war room, you know, you were about to begin your season with the New York Knicks. As the season progressed, you know, you ended up over in OKC with KD and the boys. Just give us, like, some noticeable differences between the Knicks and the Thunder franchise. Like, you know, how was it different with your teammates from one place to another? And speaking of players like Melo and KD, being the scorers they are, do they approach the game like differently from one another?
I think, you know, playing with both Melo and KD, you know, they're prolific scorers. They can score at a high level. But just to see how they approach, you know, night in, night out, you know, be able to recognize when double teams are coming, posting up, be able to hit guys when they're cutting. I felt like KD really stepped his game up because, you know, down the stretch he was being more aggressive, being more efficient, you know, getting to the basket, getting fouled, going to the free throw line. And, you know, Melo, whenever he got it going, it's kind of hard to kind of shut the water off. So, you know, I was blessed to be able to play with both of them at the same, in the same year. You know, the season didn't end the way that I liked it to, but, you know, it was still, I feel like it was still a productive year, productive season. And, you know, you learn year in, year out. And, you know, those are two great players, two great organizations I had the opportunity to play for.
Cool.
Yeah, I just had one quick question before we even talk about, because we know you're doing a lot of great things in the community. Before we talk about that, man, I got to get your opinion on this. The new Xbox and the new PS are coming out, man. We know you're a video game head. You know, so what's your thoughts on the new systems? Did you get to see anything about it?
I like playing games, you know, during the season to try to help, you know.
No cap.
some of that free time that you have, you know, I try to play as many games as I possibly can. So I think I'm going to try to get have, you know, both of them. And, you know, a lot of my friends.
I knew he was going to say that.
Some of my guys got Xboxes, so I feel like I don't really like to hear the excuses like, oh, man, you beat me on the Xbox, but I'm a PS3 guy, or I'm a PS3 guy, and, you know.
No
excuses.
No, so you're going to go into the cave, like, all right, we can play it on this system, too.
I take my talents to either system, so I know excuses.
I take my talents.
He take his talents to any system. I heard that, man. Yeah, man, we're going to hit you up when the games come out so we can get that gamer tag, man, and get it popping. But anyway, man,
Go ahead, B.
Austin, go ahead.
Ronnie, this is B. Austin. Yeah. You know, I got to get your finals prediction for Game 7. We wrapping up the season. Who's going to win it, brother?
I think the Spurs are going to shock them. You know, I think everybody
I'm with you in heart,
yeah.
Not in mind.
I feel like, you know, everybody is just cashing it in for the Heat because, you know, they won the way they did last game, and then they, you know, I feel like it's just meant to be for Game 7 because they're at home. But, you know, I feel like the pressure's on the Heat. You know, they're at home. They're supposed to win. You know, everybody expects LeBron to be so great. So there's a lot of pressure on him and his teammates to not let him down. So I think the Spurs have nothing to lose. They're going to play free. You know, I think Pop is going to come with some adjustments. You know, they saw from last game, and, you know, I think that it's going to be a hard fought game, but I think the Spurs is going to win.
Right. And like, with us, you know, since we're not Heat fans or Spurs fans, the most of what we're looking for is a good game, like Game 6.
Yeah.
Game 1 was pretty good, and we kind of thought that set the tone of the series, but then Game 2, 3, 4, and 5, you know, they were kind of bad games, you know, a lot of blowouts, and then you come back with this classic Game 6. So at the very least, you know, whoever wins, you know, all I want to see tonight is a good game.
Yeah, I agree.
Ronnie, let's talk a little bit about, because, you know, Jimmy spoke about it earlier, how you do a lot of things in the community, but we see that you have the Brew Crew basketball camp coming up next week. So you want to tell our audience a little bit about the camp?
Yeah, you know, I just completed my 7th year in the NBA, so every off season I put on a basketball camp in Fayetteville, Arkansas at the Boys and Girls Club. You know, I give scholarships to kids throughout the Boys and Girls Club for, you know, underprivileged kids. But I also, you know, charge $100. It's from 8 to 12, you know, June 24th to 28th, from 8, I said 8 to 12 already, but from kindergarten to seniors in high school, and, you know, every year is grown. I have, like, a good array of counselors, you know, guys from the University of Arkansas and guys who I play with in the NBA, and, you know, I've always had a great turnout. Allows me to get back to the kids. I enjoy doing it. I like teaching the fundamentals of basketball, and to see kids grow from, you know, when they first came to, you know, the first day to the end of the week, you know, it really touches me in my heart. So I enjoy doing it, and I continue to do it for a long period of time.
Now, did you say how many days is it again?
It's from Monday through Friday.
Okay, and are you there every day, or do you make, you know, appearances?
Of course. I'm there from about 7:45 to about 12:30. So whenever the parents drop their kids off, I make sure, you know, they're not, you know, they're supervised. And then I stay till everybody's picked up. So I go through every drill with them. You know, go to every station. So it's for sure one-on-one tutoring, and you can get a great experience from, you know, an NBA player. So, you know, when I was growing up, I had my dad when he threw his camp, and you know that stayed in my mind and really made me want to work hard to get better to try to achieve some of the things he did. So, you know, in this community, you really don't have people to look up to.
Right.
But, you know, I was in the same shoes these kids are in. So it gives something for them to kind of thrive to work towards. So it's a good feeling, and, you know, it's always a good time.
Yeah, that's cool, anyway, actually, that you put in the time because, you know, we've been around a lot of camps where guys really just lend their name to the camp and might show up for 20 minutes on the last day or something like that. So, Jimmy, go ahead.
I was getting ready to say, you said this is in Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
In Fayetteville, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because earlier, in anticipation of you coming on with us, I put a little ad on Google Plus because I hang out in social media all day. But and somebody responded, and I didn't even understand what they were saying. They were excited about you coming on, and he said something like, "Woo Pig Suey." He said, "Woo Pig Suey, Razorback," and he kept flooding my whole timeline with his "Woo Pig Suey," and I didn't know what he was talking about. So I assumed that it was some sort of Razorback thing, but he got very excited.
Yeah, if y'all look on YouTube, just look up, you know, the Hall Call, "Woo Pig Suey." It's kind of a chance.
Oh, that's your okay.
Okay.
It's a universe.
Yeah, I was Bama with the roll tide. I was hoping you'd be able to interpret that for us, Ronnie.
Yeah, because dude got very excited. He got very excited and said, "This is a Razorback Woo Pig Suey," and he kept saying it to me, and I'm like, "Okay, I got you."
I really can't believe y'all never really heard of that calling, but it's
I mean, I just never seen it written before. Maybe that's what it is. I never seen anyone actually just write it out, you know.
Hey, but yeah, Ronnie, man. In addition to your camp, we know you do a charity gala every year. Basically, you do a whole weekend. And I think that's coming up in August. Tell us a little bit about your third annual charity weekend and everything that entails.
Well, we started the Ronnie Burr Foundation a couple years ago. And basically, it's, you know, I feel like during the NBA season, you know, the NBA does a great job allowing you to be in your community that you're playing in. So I feel like whenever you end the season, you go back to wherever you're from, the respective communities, and I feel like it's my duty to you know, be a major part in that. So that's why I started my foundation, and basically it's the third year, and I usually do a lot of things with the Boys and Girls Club. I have a bowling event where, you know, I rent lanes out, have people come throughout the community, and, you know, basically have a night where they can bowl with me. And then the next night, I have a gala or a huge dinner. I have a band come in and play. We serve dinner. We have a live and silent auction. You know, it's a huge deal because, you know, around here, you know, we try to give back as far as food drives, clothing drives. We give out school supply. Last week, you know, I was able to do up my foundation. Give out 15, purchase 15 air conditioning units to give to a community housing project where their air went out. So we try to
use one of them.
So you know, we're not. I'm just one guy, and you know, luckily the people in this community like me, and they really help me out a lot. But you know, there's still a lot that can be done. So I'm just blessed that people help and reach out. But that, you know, there's always people who can do more.
All right, that's cool. Yeah. Now, everything about the camp and the charity weekend, can that be found on the website, on your website?
Yeah, you can go to
ronniebirdjr.com. Cool. Sorry. Yeah, that's all I'm about to say. Before we get you out of here, give everybody the website and tell them how they can follow you on Twitter and any other social media you might have.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have a website, ronniebirdjr.com. You can go there. It'll tell you all about my foundation. It'll tell you all about the camp. It has pictures of the camp. It shows you pictures of what we do in the community. Shows stuff about my Twitter, which my Twitter's you know, my Twitter handle is at Ronnie Burr Jr. And you know, it, you know, if you don't really show people and let them know what's going on, they'll kind of be uneducated and in the dark. So we try to you know, show the light and let them know, so you know, people can help and be a part of it.
All right, man. Well, that's what's up, man. We definitely love the stuff that you do in the community, man. It's great to have you back on. We're not going to hold you any longer. You can go get ready for the game 7 like everybody else is. But, you know, you got a home here anytime. Anything you got to promote, you can come on the War Room and do what you got to do because you're family now. Let us know how those video games turn out, too. You know,
we're definitely going to hit you up, man.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you for having me, too. Thank you all for having
me. No doubt.
Absolutely.
Anytime, Ronnie.
Take it easy, homie. All right.
All right. That's Ronnie Brewer, everybody, from the OKC Thunder, doing a lot of good stuff in the community in Fayetteville, Arkansas, where he's from. You know, if you're doing something with your life and you can give back, take some notes. Do something.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we finish our last couple minutes off talking about this NBA Finals, I do want to say we got a comment from at CaseyMac38, one of the best bloggers, and I say that because he blogs for War Room Sports. But he says, the Spurs are this year's version of the Texas Rangers. One strike away, and next thing you know it, St. Louis Cards win. He thinks it's a deja vu. You know, so he's kind of saying what we've been saying.
I'm with him.
You know, they may have shut their load, you know.
You got one more on the digital, Jim, before we give our predictions?
Yeah. No doubt. We got the homie Robert, who always chimes in, man. Robert is
You've been waiting for a while. Good looking out, Robert.
Yeah, shout out to Rob. Thanks for waiting because we had Ronnie on. But Rob calling all the way from San Diego where the weather's always great. Let's bring the homie on. Rob!
What's up, y'all?
Yeah, game seven, Rob. Game seven.
Who you got?
Yeah. Hey, yo, and the dude that was talking about LeBron, man, he don't know what he's talking about, dog. Earn my respect. I don't care. LeBron earned my respect.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
He doesn't pull any punches, though. He lets you know that it's personal.
No, he's personal.
He just don't like
him. He wasn't.
Yeah,
he just don't like him.
He just don't like
him. He knows LeBron was on the Lakers. We'd be up in arms.
Man, I ain't gonna lie, yo. We have a party, yo. But anyway, Rob, what we always say, man.
Like Bielsa and I don't like super teaming, but if they want to come to Philly and super team, then I'm all for it. But go ahead, Rob.
Welcome them with open arms.
If
Chris Bosh came to my team, I'd be excited, and he likes fruit booty, so Rob, what's your prediction for Game 7, though? How you see this game going?
I think last game LeBron was playing scared and Dwayne West playing scared. It was kind of ticking me off because I predicted that they
would dude.
Boost the Spurs.
Yo. Yeah. But
so,
now it's one game that takes all, man. It's like everything's on the line right now.
I think it's the losing mentality, the lose being scared is under their feet because they know they can win, so they're gonna have more confidence.
Yeah.
Right.
So you think it's gonna be a blowout?
I think thanks to David Stern that the refs are not gonna make the call that they are supposed to.
Thanks to David Stern, here comes the conspiracy. He said that thanks to David Stern, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying it's probably going to be a good thing because the refs are just not going to make the calls. Like, they're just going to let them play.
Oh, so basically you're saying they already got their seven-game series, so they're going to get the maximum amount of value out of the ticket sales and the TV revenue, so now they can just let them play and not affect the game with the refs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I feel you.
For sure. I don't like either team. However, I am a UNC Chapel Hill represent, so I love you, Danny Green. Shay Battier, you are a flopper, and you are a professional flopper. You won a Caddy Award and an Emmy.
Yo.
All right, that's what's up then.
All right, Rob.
But let us give our prediction.
Right,
we're going to close out this show. We're going
to
see what happens.
Give us a call back next week, Rob.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
I think it's going to be a Spurs. Okay. By five, and I think that if it has nothing to do with LeBron James' headband, it's got to do with Dwayne Wade changing his pants. That's what has to happen.
All right, Rob, we'll holler at you online, man. Don't forget to call in next week, man, so we can recap what happened, man. But, you know, happy game seven, brother.
Needs to come back. Yeah, the older one, we need to come back. The dude that just fall on his head, hit the floor,
back
down for five minutes, and come back and score 20.
Yeah. We shall see, man. All right, have a good week, man.
All right,
yo,
man.
We'll talk to you
one.
After the game on Facebook or something, man. Don't forget to call us next week.
All right.
All right, no doubt. Later.
All right.
Yo,
well,
man,
we got
a couple minutes left, so let's go. That's how you see this, man. What's up, Doug?
For me, I mean, if you watch War Room Sports TV, you kind of already know. If you listen to this show, you already know I'm of the contingency that thinks that San Antonio probably blew their load in the game six. It's going to be a hard physical and mental hurdle to climb over to win this NBA Finals. I would not mind seeing Timmy, Manu, and the boys get this game tonight. I just don't see it happening. I think Miami will win by double digits, and I think they'll get to, you know, sub out of the game and get their, you know, hammer dance and their running man on like they did last year prior to the clock going to zero. So I'm going to go with Miami.
Yeah, man. Listen, I'm hoping I'm completely wrong, but I think Miami may win by like 32 points. Yeah, I think they might run them off the building. I think they're going to have the backups in. They're going to be dancing. You know, and I'm blaming all this on T-Mac. This falls all on your shoulders, bro. But I think
Pop
that the Miami Heat will run away with it.
Pop looked like a chia pet, Jimmy. My pop looked like a chia pet.
Chia. Listen, I completely hope that I'm wrong, by the way. I hope I am wrong. But I just
I
want to
see T-Mac get his ring, man.
I can't see how you come back from that close to winning from a mental nor physical standpoint. I don't see how you do it. If they do, it'll be one of the great stories.
Ron Howard is about to close his career out with two rings. And he didn't even have to do a thing but get in the locker room and sing.
And that's exactly what he did. Juwan be over there ragging on y'all, though. Go ahead, though.
I think that because of the parade that's going on this weekend in Miami, they're just going to combine it, and it's going to be
pride,
a big parade. Yeah, Chris Bosh is the marshal of that jump. I got the Heat winning. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, though, Jimmy. I think the Spurs have a lot of pride. They have a lot.
I hope I'm wrong, brother.
But it's still a Miami win. I think the game is going to be closer than the score. And what I mean by that is I see them keeping it within 7 points.
See real fast.
To about four minutes left, and then they'll blow it open, end up winning by 15.
Okay.
So you're saying it'll be a double digit, but the score won't really be indicative of the competition level in the game. It'll just be a late runaway so they can do the running man on the sideline.
I don't know how it's going to get there, but they're going to be up by 20 in the fourth quarter. That's all I'm saying. I hope I'm completely wrong. I hope the Spurs come out and just show me that they're built like, you know, it's like a Rocky story or something. I just hope that, you know, because we count Rocky out all the time, but, you know.
What about your X-Factors, Jim? Well, we all know Chris Bosh is an X-Factor, period, for the Miami Heat. So, you know, he has to do something, even if it's not scoring. Like last game, he got active on the defensive end. He got active on the boards. After, you know, in between games, he got active telling the fans who left game six to stay their ass home for game seven. So Chris Bosh is an X-Factor. They've made an effort to shut Danny Green down last game, and I'm pretty sure they're going to try to do the same thing tonight. But he has to do a little something. He has to open it back up for the Spurs, make it easier for him. That's all I got.
I mean, me and B. Austin always said that he was going to fall off because light-skinned dudes don't have a long run like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they come and show, and it's over with, man. Ask El DeBarge.
DeBarge, Christopher Williams.
Even my man Darren Williams fell off, and Blake Griffin don't get the respect.
Yeah, he fell off too. Blake Griffin fell off. Listen, light-skinned dudes have short runs, man. It's that's scientifically proven, by the way.
Short lifespan.
They got short lifespans, man. Danny Green.
Yo, my man dark-skinned Jermaine going to be around forever.
Anyway, man, so we all got Miami winning the series. Hopefully we are all wrong because none of us are actively rooting for the Heat. None of us have a horse in the race. But again, nobody wants the Heat to win, let's face it. Anyway, it's time for us to get out of here, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us again in the War Room, good people. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter. We had a bunch of calls we couldn't get to. We had like 60 people waiting, and we apologize, but time was flying by. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for another episode of Real Talk, because that's what we give you. We're scheduled to have comedian Erin Jackson back on the show. She has a new talk show called Exhale, which is debuting on Thursday night at 8 p.m. on Magic Johnson's new network, Aspire. because Magic has a network. Well, hey, never mind. Until then, enjoy your sports weekend. We'll see you right back here next time. Be sure to catch our conversations on Facebook, Twitter, and watch our videos on WarRoomSportsTV.com. Until next time, everybody, never, never accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top. Rest in peace, Big Anthony Brennan.
All the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dev, PJ, Be Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's not down.
Call it
323 Brooklyn 0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like Magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secrets, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.